Amen. Thank you, worship team. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's a great opportunity for us as a congregation to say thank you to Daniel, the worship team from this morning, the other worship leaders that have started to fill in every week, and the teams that work with them since Thomas left earlier this year. They have been doing an amazing job. I think we should just express our thanks. I would also like personally to take this opportunity to say thank you to Pastor Jonathan for this opportunity to share God's word with you this morning, and to thank God for him and his family and for how they've come to lead our congregation along with Pastor Gary and his family. The preaching over the last number of months has been absolutely challenging and causing us to grow as individuals and as a congregation, and we're very excited about going into 2019 as a church family. Did I just say 2019? Too soon. It's too soon. It can't possibly be 2019. Already. And here to discuss it with me this morning, although he's not being called up to the stage, is my good friend Martin Penner. Give a hand for Martin Penner as he comes up. He does not know I'm doing this morning. Nor do the others who I'm calling up to the stage know what I'm doing with them this morning. Martin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's our challenge this morning. I'm only going to keep you up here for a few minutes. It's my challenge this morning to take us from Christmas Eve to New Year's Eve in just 6 days, from Christ's birth and everything that excites us about that and how glorious that is to, you know, party time. And on the way, we're going to stop and we're going to have Easter. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. So that's really a tight timeline.
That's a very...
You recognize the challenge.
It is a challenge.
But you know,
I hope you can do it.
You know that we're up to the challenge.
We are up to the challenge.
And then also, Martin, I was thinking how soon it comes. Christmas is wrapped up and we're off into New Year's. And how soon things come. I know the mothers who've had the kids home from school this week are thinking that just in a few days, the kids will be going back to school. Too soon. We're enjoying them around the house. Too soon. But Martin, I'm thinking, here I am. I'm thinking it's New Year's Eve, and tomorrow night at midnight, we will welcome the year 2019.
That's crazy. It's already 2019. Oh, it's not 2019 yet.
It's not quite.
It's a bit too soon.
It's a bit too soon. But I remember, and I'm sure you agree, I remember like this, just like it was 1999, we were on the cusp of a new decade, a new century, a new millennium. That was just, you remember that?
I mean, I was about 9 months old, so I don't really remember that. But I've heard crazy things. I've heard it was a crazy time.
I knew you were around I remember being around your family and my family. We were all together, and how exciting that was to welcome the new millennium. And of course, I was born, Martin. What year did you think I was born again?
1970. No, that was too, no.
That's it.
Yeah, 1960.
Martin, I was born in 1960, as several other people here in the congregation were. And when you're born in 1960, your whole growing up years, you're realizing that when the millennium turns, that is the year you're going to turn 40. And 40 is a big deal, Martin.
I know, I haven't got there yet.
No.
I've heard it's a big deal.
And Martin, it's now almost 1999, which means not very far down the road, I will be turning 60. I've always known my whole life that in the year 2020, I will be turning 60 years old, and that is coming way too soon. I'm sure you'll agree with me.
Yes.
So,
no.
What's it been like for you, Martin? How fast has 20 come in your life?
After high school, it's come very quickly.
Very quickly. Now, tell me what you're up to in your life, just really quickly. What are you doing right now?
I'm in university in my second year at University of Toronto.
Okay, so that's not like Bible college.
No.
University of Toronto.
Yeah.
That's real life. What's it like, Martin, for you to live as a Christian away from home, away from your home church, in Toronto, where many crazy ideas and a fast life exists, and I'm sure if you weren't careful, you could get swept into it. How do you maintain your Christian faith away from home and away from your church family here?
It's really important for me to make a point of getting a new church family.
Yeah.
So I always make a point of every Sunday I go to church at I have a church in Toronto
every
that
Sunday.
I go to. That I try to do, yeah.
Okay. What about this? We have the communion table out this morning. Do you celebrate communion when you're away from home with your temporary church family in Toronto?
Yeah, my church does communion every Sunday.
Every Sunday?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's great. So, Martin, I want to thank you, and I want to ask you if you would read the words from our sermon passage this morning, which are up on the screen from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Would you mind reading that congregation this morning?
He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher.
Thank you very much, Martin. I'll let you take your seat, and I'm going to lead us in prayer that this passage would affect our lives at the end of 2018 and prepare us for 2019. Our Father, we are so grateful for your word this morning. The songs we have been singing are reminders of what you promise us in your word, the things that you tell us that are true, that we so quickly forget and need to be reminded of all the time. And so we're so grateful for the opportunity to gather today around your word and around this table, which allows us to examine our lives and know what we need to leave behind and leave at the cross, and know what we need to do in 2019 to make it our best year yet. We are praying as a church that 2019 will be the best year we've ever experienced here, a year of growth, a year of revival, a year of seeing many people come to know you, be baptized, and join us at this table. We thank you that our kids are with us this morning, and we are praying for them, Lord, that in the year ahead they will also have amazing learning experience here as we teach them together. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to just call your attention to these words on the screen for a few minutes before we join one another in the communion service in a few moments. You can see that it says in the very first sentence, He, Jesus Christ, has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. If you're like me, as soon as you read a sentence like that, He has called us to live a holy life, it creates a certain tension in you. Because almost immediately you become aware of your unworthiness, your inability to do exactly that. And when you get ready to join me at the communion table this morning, again, sometimes that tension arises in you because you think back to the month previous and you say to yourself, well, it's not exactly the way I wanted to live in light of what I know is true about me in Christ, but it's who I am, it's the struggle I face day to day, and so this tension exists in your life. We all have it, we all face it, we all carry that around with us, and it's there for a reason. So I thought I'd make a big deal out of the next part of the sentence, which says, He saved us, called us to a holy life, but it was not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. It says that clearly. It says it's not because of anything we have done, and it will never be because of anything we have done. This holy life that He called us to is explained in the sentences ahead. It says that this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. That's what we've been doing over the last few weeks as we've gotten ready for Christmas, as we've lit our Advent calendars, as we've focused on hope and joy and peace and love. We have celebrated the coming into our world of our long-promised Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us here that it was from before the beginning of time that this grace was given us in Christ Jesus. So Christmas is a marvelous thing for us to celebrate, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But what we see is that in God's plan, in the scheme of salvation, that it existed before the very beginning of time. It has always been God's plan. Grace has always been God's heart for us. He has called us, He has invited us to live a holy life, but I think we get sometimes that word a little bit confused in our own minds when we realize that grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. We need to realize that that is the basis of the holy life that God is calling us to live. Because Jesus did not come only to be born, but He came to live amongst us a life that is different than any that has ever existed. In 2019, would you join me in purposing to get back in touch with the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Would you open your Bibles? Would you listen to the words that are there? The things that Jesus said to the people that He came in contact with, the way that He touched people, welcoming them, welcoming children, accepting them, healing them, forgiving them, even pronouncing their sins to be forgiven. The death He died, the cruel death that He died on the cross, the very real reality of the torture that He suffered, and then the glorious resurrection from the grave that He experienced. Would you make it your purpose in 2019 to rediscover the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Don't just come to church and listen to the pastor talk about it. Don't just go to your group and listen to them discuss it. Open up your Bible yourself. Read it for yourself. Podcasts are great. Some people I know listen to 10 or more a week. Wonderful. But open up your Bible and discover it all over again. Discover in 2019 that He, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has been revealed through His appearance and destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through that gospel. I would like to call up on the stage now two more young adults, Shalan and Erica. Would you join me for just a few minutes? I want to ask you to come. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. First of all, for Shalan, I really want to say especially thank you. She drew my name in the Christmas gift exchange at the Cody household and gave me this awesome hat. Thank you. It's from the Floyd R. Turbo collection. You can wear it both flaps down, one flap up, one flap down, both flaps up. It's very versatile, goes with almost everything. So thank you so much. Really appreciate that. More importantly, I want to talk to you too. How fast has 20 come? You're a little bit past 20. How fast has it come in your life?
20 comes very fast.
Yes?
Really fast.
And in your life right now, one of the things that you two are both involved in is a thing called Leverage Women. And in my new job, some of you know what I'm doing, some of you don't. I just want to explain it quickly. I work at our fellowship denominational office over in Fort Langley, along with Krista Penner, Erica's mother, David Harita, who's preached here. And I'm having a great experience there. But one of the things that we're working on is a thing called leveragewomen.com, and it's about enabling and discovering leadership gifts among women, both in our fellowship and beyond. And one of the things we do is have a blog. And Shalan, you recently wrote a blog post. Erica, you've written blog posts. You also have been serving as the editor for that. And we really appreciate what you've done. But the recent blog post that you wrote, Shalan, is what I want to talk to you briefly about. If you would take the microphone,
yes.
I want to ask you. There's a passage in Corinthians that you identified, which you spoke about, which talks about how each of us, whatever we have in our life, whatever we're doing in our life, we should live as if those things are not ours. We should live as if they don't belong to us. We should live as even if our own life does not belong to us, belongs to Christ instead. We should live as if eternity is real, and that's the biggest challenge that you identified, one of the biggest challenges that you identified in your life. Can you tell us just what you were thinking when you said, when you wrote that, what you've identified young people, the world that we live in, what the challenges are, and what maybe Paul is trying to tell us?
Yeah, I think that passage specifically I wrote in there spoke to me the most when I was in my later years of high school. And I think all of our high school students can probably attest to this, that there's a lot of things that are being thrown at you. And of course, that doesn't change in life. That's always the case. And I think as Christians, we live in a world where the whole world is screaming at us to make a name for ourselves or to make our lives about our career or about whatever you name it. And in that passage specifically, when I opened that up when I was 16, I read that, and those words just jumped off the page to me because, of course, the early church faced many of the same issues that we do today. And when I read that, Later on in the passage, Paul writes, "For the former ways of the world are passing away." And I kind of looked at my life and all of the things that I was trying to build my life on. And I thought to myself, especially as I looked around at my friends in high school and the hurt that has come from building your life on things that don't last. And I thought to myself, I don't want to live my life or build my life on something that won't last.
Right.
And so I want to build my life on Christ because he is forever. And I know that his love and life in him will never fade away. And so it doesn't mean that you denounce all of those things or you don't work hard, but you just look at all those things with a different perspective. You look at your money with a different perspective. You look at your marriage with a different perspective, with an eternal perspective. So that's kind of what that passage has meant for me. And yeah, if that answers.
Fantastic. Thank you. I think that's very valuable for us to hear. And I want to encourage people, especially women, to look at that blog and the blogs that are on that website, Leverage Women. Erica, you've been involved in editing some posts and creating some yourself.
Thank you for that.
The two of you have lived your lives as friends along with others that are here for a long time. How do you encourage each other? How do you sharpen each other, encourage each other to live that eternal life in the busyness and the chaos of the world that we live in?
Well, it's not always super easy, but I think I can speak for us. We, in the last, 5 years, haven't lived near each other, but I know whenever we get together, it's kind of the whole, how our conversation goes is never, oh, well, how's your job going? What vacation are you going on? What? Oh, let's go shopping. I don't know. We always talk about things that are rooted ultimately in our faith, because our friendship would not have lasted as long as it has if it hadn't been for God's hand in our life.
Right.
It's just all about intentionality, because it's so easy to focus on the wrong things. But I think, I mean, having a friend like Shalane, you just heard her talk, like, she is wise. You know, she always has really good things to pour into me, and I hope I can do the same for her, but it takes a little work.
Awesome. And Erica, go ahead.
I would say that my friendships that have lasted and are centered on Christ are the ones that, the people that tell me the most truth. And it's not always easy, but I think Erica is one of those friends that tells me the most truth. And if you can find Christian friends that will tell you the most truth, those are people that you want in your life.
Fantastic. And Chris, or Erica, has that enabled you while you're away from home? Because you're a long way from home right now, over the last year, living where and doing what?
Teaching English in Japan.
All right. And have you been able to thrive in your faith, even away from home, as we talked about with your dear brother Martin, because of carrying that truth around with you wherever you go?
Yeah, I think my situation is unique. It's been really, really hard because there are I don't speak Japanese, so there's no churches for me to go to. So when I first got there, it was really, really hard because the only person I thought pouring into me was me. But I really quickly realized that, yeah, having friendships with people, it's hard to explain. But it ultimately, I had like a mind shift where, you know, it's not me pouring into myself that's going to strengthen my relationship with the Lord. It's him and people around me. So it's just been a matter of, you know, calling my friends to talk to, or actually opening my Bible, because I never would do that before.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to talk to you guys about that recent blog post. Shalane, you recognized that in Corinth, in which that passage was written about, in the city, probably partly due to being in the city, there was rampant immorality. Rampant immorality is something that we recognize happening all around us all the time, and it can sneak into the church very easily. The solution can never be that we only have so many rules and regulations that we all know exactly how to live. The solution has to be something more like what Paul is talking about here, which is recognizing not immorality, but immortality. Paul is saying Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What do you think it would be like if young adult Christians, youth, even junior youth, all of our church, if instead of being teased and pursuing immorality, we would be focused on immortality? There would be rampant immortality. Is that possible?
I think that would be a beautiful thing. We're going through the book of Ephesians right now with a lot of our age groups, and I love the way that Paul lays out Ephesians, and that the first three chapters are all about what Christ has done for us in the gospel, and he just drives that point home. And then the last three chapters are about how our lives should change because of that. And when I look at that verse, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. The holy life is the result of what he's done for us. And so anytime I look at my life or I talk to people about that reality, it has to start with reminding yourself of the gospel. Because if you start with the rules, start with the regulations, it just becomes a set of rules. But I think that holy life and that mindset will come when you focus on Christ first and remind yourself of the gospel and that holy living and that wanting to seek him and want to live different in your schools. That will come as a result. But you have to start with focusing on Christ.
Yeah, I mean, not much to add to that, but I think even for me personally, I look at, you know, people in junior youth, everything, and for me, I wish that my high school experience had been shaped by a biblical perspective, because I look at where I am now with my faith, and I'm obviously have miles to go, but I'm like, man, I wish I had been learning all of this when I was 15. You know, how different would let my life look at this point, you know? And so I want to encourage, like, all the young people, it's not an age thing that you're like, oh, I'm just in high school. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to, you know, get involved, whatever. Like, you do. And I'm seeing now as a 22-year-old, you know, I wish that I had, you know, made certain decisions and done things as a young person that I just didn't. And it's totally possible to do. So do it.
Totally possible. Thank you to you both. Let's give them a quick hand here and say thank you so much for their insights. In fact, I'm going to move down to the communion table just at this moment and invite those that are coming to serve along with me to make their way forward to do that. What I see in this passage, again, is the challenge of living our everyday lives, that holy life that Paul is calling us to. What really makes the difference? What really makes the difference allowing us as Christians to live a holy life? If you look at this paragraph, I think it's quite simple. Paul seems to be indicating that if we open our hearts and our minds to the whole truth of salvation, that it's always been grace, it's always been a gift, it's always been in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's never been any other way. From the beginning of time, at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Christmas story, when he appeared in his earthly ministry, when he was put on display on that cruel cross, when he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples and then to 500 other people, he was essentially appearing on the other side of death. Something that in our own lives we must learn to do ourselves, which is to say, if I'm celebrating this communion this morning, what I am really saying about myself is that I believe that to be true, that he has conquered death and brought life and immortality in himself. It's difficult to think of ourselves as being immortal or experiencing immortality, but that is what we must do. We must see ourselves on the other side of death, living eternally already, even if we're 15 years old, as Erica said. We must learn to understand how true what Paul is saying in this passage really is for us. Yesterday, we went to get our vehicles unstuck after enjoying the previous day an amazing day of skiing up at Hemlock Mountain, which is now called Sasquatch. We had a wonderful day skiing. The next day we woke up and it was pouring rain, and all of our vehicles got stuck. Slowly, through our ingenuity and our determination, we got each one unstuck until we had one left, the 15-passenger van. We had chains. We tried to put chains underneath the van. We had shovel. We tried to shovel our way out. We had people. We tried to push our way out. Yes, we rocked it. Yes, we gunned it. We tried everything, and we were about ready to give up. Several of us were thinking, well, we're BCA members. We can give them a call. They'll be here in not too much time. But all of a sudden, a young man in a really ratchety Jeep pulled up next to us. He had to reach his hand out the window to open the door because the door didn't work. Got out, and he said, hey, could I give you guys a tug? We looked at him, and we were sort of thinking to ourselves, could this be our Savior? And not what we expected. Not exactly what we were thinking. But he had everything he needed. He had a strap, he pulled it out, he put it on the bumper or the trailer hitch. And we were sort of like, well, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? But there was absolutely nothing that we could do except receive his assistance. And yes, he pulled us out in just a few moments. Some of us are coming to this table, and it's a confusing thing. We're not sure what it all means. It simply means this, that we know the object of this table is Jesus Christ. And we know that what it says about us is true, not because of anything we have done, nor will it be because of anything we can do. He saved us. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality to us. This table is about celebrating that the only way to God that has ever existed, that ever will be, since the beginning of time, was his Son, Jesus Christ. And even though we moved very quickly from Christmas to now talking about his crucifixion and his resurrection, we understand that that was always the whole story, and it was always for us. It's as simple as opening our hearts to that truth and saying, I believe salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. And if that is what you believe, please participate with us as I call my friends in and get ready to pray and serve the bread. And then the cup. We'll serve each of these things one at a time. Ask you as you receive it to wait until we pray together in order to celebrate first the broken body and then the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But just one last thing I want to say. Not necessarily because it's at the very end of the year in 2018 and we're on the cusp of a very new year. You can do this anytime. You can do this every day. When you open your heart to say to God, I'm at the table, what is it in my life that I need to remember to leave behind, to confess to you that I would carry it no longer, then do that this morning. Leave it here in 2018. And at the same time, say, God, what is it that you need me to know or to do in 2019 to fully experience the joy, the love, the peace that you have for me in my life? So take this time, even though the kids are around us and it's a little restless, take this time to ask yourself those questions, and then let's get ready to live 2019 in a full and complete way. Father, we thank you. As we've meditated on this passage for just a few moments, we realize we're all in the same struggle. Living a holy life seems to be outside of our ability, and yet when we receive it as a gift and then live it, knowing that it is the truth, you empower us to do amazing things. And so that is how we receive it this morning. Even, Lord, the reality, the pain of your broken body and your shed blood, even though we are not worthy of those things and don't deserve them, clearly they were done for us. Your purpose has always been grace. And you are glorified most when we repent of our sins and honestly live before you. And so we thank you that we can celebrate this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says in Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's stand together before we participate to indicate that as a congregation, we stand shoulder to shoulder. Most of us along or near our families, and that the strength of our congregation is our unity in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not about any one person or family or any individual. Our strength is that we receive what God has for us in Jesus Christ together, which is what we do again this morning. Paul said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. And thank you for those that are serving. I'm just have a couple more thoughts to share before we wrap up this morning. And this time I want to call to the stage Daniel Molendijk. Daniel's a lot going on in your life these days. You also were in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And are you on your mic?
Sure, if you want me to be.
Good, yeah, I want you to.
Okay.
We want to thank you for all the leadership you've shown in our church over the last little while. We recognize that, you've been involved with our youth and young adults and on worship teams, leading worship teams. It's been really cool to see what God's doing in your life, and thank you for that. And 2019 is an exciting year for you in a lot of ways, including your wedding.
That's right.
It's exciting. And I want you to, again, this is spontaneous. I want you to tell me what you do in your life to enable you to live consistently the Christian beliefs that you have that you were raised with when you work with, not when you're working at the church, but in other places, unbelievers, and you live in this world that you live in, that you don't just sing about it, that you're able to testify about it. So tell me, what does Daniel do in his life to do that?
Well, I'd have to say it's been amazing in the last year or so with young adults, just surrounding myself with just awesome friends that, like Shalane said, that are going to challenge you and that are going to take you that one step further, especially when you're going through different things in your life that might be even hard, but they come alongside you. So that's been a huge part of my life in different areas where I've been struggling, but those people that are in my life, they are there for a reason. And before, I used to run away from those people when life got tough. You know, church got put on the back burner. You know, my Bible reading got put on the back burner. But I've noticed that in those times that it's hard, you actually got to draw near to the church. You got to draw near to those friends because they're the ones that are going to continue to guide you towards God. So that's really what I've been doing. And then in all the things I do in life, you know, university, I've been pursuing firefighting as well. You know, there's lots of people out there that are, they're lost, and their conversations are kind of shallow, but, you know, you got to still stand firm in what you believe through that. But yeah, just those relationships that I've built, that I've been longing for a long time in my life, through all the hard times. But now I have them, and I'm never going to let them go. So, yeah, a good friend that's going to challenge you and just continue to hold you accountable. And it's really awesome to be vulnerable with one another. It's something that's been really, really meaningful in my life, to be able to bounce things off one another and be able to, yeah, work on them together, actually. So,
fantastic answer. Daniel, could I get you to read the last sentence from our text that was on the screen? It's not there anymore. Right there, starting in verse 11.
And of this gospel I was appointed, I hurled on an apostle and a teacher. Is that what you want to read?
Yeah. Paul says, and of this gospel, this amazing truth, he, Paul, was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that is where Paul, in his most simple form, outlines the gospel message. I have declared to you the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. That he appeared to all of the apostles, all of the disciples, to 500 people. And then Paul says a very important thing at the end. He says, and lastly, he appeared to me. Paul had been walking the path that he thought was the way to please God, and totally realized that Jesus Christ was his Savior, turned his life around. And Paul says, I became a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. I looked up the word apostle, and it turns out the age of the apostles is not over. Apostle is simply someone who tells the story of Jesus Christ to a certain group of people or place for the first time. So if Dana comes and taps you on the shoulder this year and says, I would like you to be a teacher, would you consider saying yes in 2019? Because Paul says he was appointed to be an apostle and a herald and a teacher. And it's not a matter of us making up our mind. We have the privilege of declaring this amazing gospel wherever we go, even in our own church. Whether it's to our children, our youth, young adults, wherever it is, it makes a difference if we step up and do that. So we want to stand together and end our time, our last worship service of 2018, by celebrating what Jesus Christ has done for us and looking forward to 2019 with eyes of faith. Daniel, would you lead us?
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand.